KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis or online at kfai.org. Well, so am I.
Me too.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
You are listening to Fresh Air Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and 106.7 in St. Paul. This is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman.
This program will inspire you, inform you, feed you healthy recipes, engage you politically, enlighten you spiritually. Help me name it. I'm no longer doubtful of what I'm living for. And if I make you happy, I don't need to do more. Cause you make me feel. You make me feel. We must realize that the healing power of spirit is within each and every one of us. We each have the power to heal not only ourselves, but our world and all those around us. Spirit expressing through us as a kind word, a caring touch, or a simple smile may be all that it takes. When we realize who we are, the blessings we have been given, the power we embody, we have tapped into the source of our healing ability. Every day, we have at least one opportunity to help a friend, a loved one, or even a stranger, regardless of the color of our skin, our economic status, our social or political philosophy. It is our responsibility to do what we can, when we can, to assure that someone else does better. Today, let us become aware of the healing power within and dedicate ourselves to uplifting those we touch. Affirmation. Through the healing power of the spirit within, I bless others today. That comes from the book Acts of Faith, Iyanla Van Zandt. Good evening. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, and we're streaming online at kfai.org. And this is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman, and I'm Kinshasha. We're talking about the important new book, Bottle of Lies, the inside story of the generic drug boom. Catherine Eban is our guest this evening. How did this book come about?
Well, it began about a decade ago. I got a phone call in 2008 from a radio show host named Joe Graydon, who has a program called The People's Pharmacy. He had contacted me because patients were calling him and reporting that they were having terrible side effects when they were switched to certain generic drugs. He took those complaints to the FDA, and officials there basically told him when patients are switched, they have psychosomatic reactions because the color and the shape of the pill is different. But he really found that answer inadequate. He knew me as an investigative journalist of long standing and suggested that I look into what was wrong with the drugs. It was that phone call which launched me into a decade-long reporting odyssey that ended up taking me to these very remote pharmaceutical plants in India and China where the majority of our low-cost medicine is made.
When did we switch from having the pharmaceutical factories here in America to other countries?
It was a gradual process. I mean, we used to make all the world's antibiotics. That began to change in the early 2000 period. China stepped up as a big manufacturer of antibiotics. Other drugs followed. But it was really the HIV/AIDS crisis that transformed our drug supply. Interestingly, the Indian pharma companies stepped up as low-cost manufacturers who could manufacture the needed AIDS drug cocktail for a dollar a day. And that price continued to fall. The U.S. government was buying AIDS drugs for Africans, and it began to dawn on us, well, we're taking all these brand-name drugs we can't afford. We're clearing these Indian generics to go to Africa. Why don't we take those drugs, too? And that's really sort of the dawn of this transformation of our drug supply, which is today 90% generic.
You know, generic drugs are supposed to be the salvation of humanity, since name brand drugs are so expensive, or more like designer drugs, that generics are supposed to be just as good as the name brand ones without the name. Is that not true?
Well, in theory, it's true, and in some instances, it has been true. But what I uncovered is a widespread culture of fraud and data fabrication at these overseas plants. The FDA largely regulates our generics on an honor system. Companies submit data to the FDA showing that the drugs are what is called bioequivalent, that they operate the same in the body as the brand name drug. Then the FDA will perform what's called a pre-approval inspection at the plant. But when they go and inspect overseas, they give companies advance notice of weeks and sometimes months that their inspectors are coming. That gives these plants the opportunity to clean up, to fabricate documents, to clean up bird infestations, horrible conditions, so that the plants that the FDA ends up approving to make our life-saving drugs are not actually the ones they're seeing. I mean, they're very, very different because of this advance notice and other failures in regulation.
I saw an interview with a guy who was an inspector, and he talked about going down a long hall and seeing a guy. Apparently, he didn't anticipate running into him, and that they have a very short window of time in order to, in fact, do their inspection. And when he saw them, he went in the other direction. He yelled for him to stop, and the man threw the bag and went running, and in the bag, all of the data that they were throwing away was in that bag. Most of it had been falsified. From the standpoint of not only
people's health, but even from the standpoint of economics, how does it make sense to not have safe conditions for generic drugs?
Generic companies want to be first into our market, and they want to make their drugs as cheaply as they can and sell them at as great a profit as they can. What I uncovered in Bottle of Lies is that some of these companies are actually undercutting their own product. They are deliberately making poor quality drugs, which cost less to make with fewer safeguards, and then selling those into more regulated, costly markets like our own. The regulations that they are required to follow are called good manufacturing practices. That requires very strict observance to detailed regulations. A lot of that has to do with data, that they have to maintain data of each manufacturing step in a completely transparent manner. The investigator who you were talking about, his name is Peter Baker. He's one of the people that readers will meet in the book. He realized that some of these companies were operating these hidden laboratory operations where they're actually pre-testing the drugs, trying to figure out if they'll pass the tests or not. And if they don't pass, then they figure out how to manipulate the tests and the testing parameters. Then they'll test on the computer system that the FDA will look at. It all looks transparent and it all looks great because the drugs pass. But in fact, these are failing quality drugs that are being sort of artificially tested with the tests manipulated so they'll be approved.
In case you just tuned in, we're talking about the important new book, Bottle of Lies, the inside story of the generic drug boom. Catherine Eban is our guest this evening. As we're talking about regulation, many politicians will tell us that we're the most regulated country in the world and that that seems to be the problem with business. Why business isn't able to make more money is because we have too much regulation.
On paper, the FDA has the same standard for plants that operate in the U.S. and plants that operate overseas. You know, and the FDA will be quick to point out that those plants overseas are required to follow the same strict regulations. What I set out to figure out is, are they? What I discovered was, in many cases, they are not, and the FDA is either not uncovering some of this fraud, or when their own investigators do uncover the fraud, the FDA officials back in Maryland are actually downgrading recommended sanctions against these plants.
Why? Are they not in violation of their entire purpose?
They are, and it's a good question as to why. And I think the answer is there is no plan B for our drug supply. We can't afford brand name drugs. There are already drug shortages. These low-cost drugs are a political solution, and there's a tremendous amount of pressure on the FDA to approve these drugs. And if they didn't approve these drugs, we might be facing even worse drug shortages. I think the FDA has taken the path of sort of closing their eyes to some extent, ignoring evidence to some extent, and signing off on drugs that their own investigators have flagged as dangerous or substandard.
Bottle of Lies is what we're talking about, the inside story of the generic drug boom. Catherine Eban is who we're talking with. It is disturbing, to say the least. Help me to understand, what has happened this past year with high blood pressure medication?
Right. As it turned out, millions of Americans were taking a blood pressure medicine, Valsartan, and then another one, Losartan. The active ingredients were being manufactured in China, very typical in our globalized drug supply. European regulators discovered the active ingredient had a carcinogen in it that is actually used in the production of liquid rocket fuel. The reason that that carcinogen was in it is because the company making the active ingredient had taken certain manufacturing shortcuts to increase the yield of the drug. Regulators had signed off on this, and then lo and behold, the result was this toxic impurity. And in fact, it's interesting because the FDA's own inspection at that plant had revealed that the company was ignoring toxic impurities in its drugs. But that was one of the plants that they downgraded, as we discussed. Europe went ahead and started with these recalls. They spread around the world, and millions of Americans have found that their blood pressure medicine has been recalled. But it is really part of this global picture that I describe in the book of under-regulated plants, increasing profits, shortening manufacturing steps, and the result is toxic impurities in our drugs.
Thank you. programming on KFAI is supported in part by Health Partners. Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical, prescription drugs and dental, plus many extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal. More information at healthpartners.com/oneplan.
KFAI is pleased to welcome back Cattle Decapitation, performing their 2019 album Death Atlas in full Wednesday, December 10th at First Avenue in Minneapolis. With support from Aborted, Frozen Soul, and Tribal Gaze, this show is sure to take you one day closer to the end of the world. Tickets for Cattle Decapitation, Aborted, Frozen Soul, and Tribal Gaze are available now at First Avenue's website. Visit first-avenue.com for more details.
We're talking about the important new book, Bottle of Lies, the inside story of the generic drug boom. Catherine Eban is our guest this evening. It seems that far too many of us feel like we're not getting treated unless we are prescribed some form of medication. And the majority of our elders are on anywhere from 5 to 20 different medications for one thing or another. Who is regulating that so that us, well, not only our elders, but that all of us are safe if we're taking the medication? It seems like that if you go into an emergency room and they want to know the medication that you're on and you say that you're not and you're of a certain age, they say that you're lying. You have to be on a certain medication. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just perplexed in terms of keeping the public safe.
Right. In theory, the FDA is regulating all of these drugs, and it has made the claim that any drug it approves is safe to take. One of the companies that I write about in the book, Rambaxi, was India's largest generic drug company, and at one point was the fastest growing generic company in our market. Lots of their drugs on the market. It turned out the company had engaged in widespread fraud in the applications it was sending to regulators around the world. So it was inventing data that made the claim that the drugs were bioequivalent, were safe, had been tested. And this was exposed by a whistleblower in 2005 who came forward to the FDA. The FDA started investigating. They knew this company was saturated with fraud, and yet they kept approving their drugs. In 2011, they gave Rambaxi permission to launch the biggest generic in the history of the U.S. market. It was a generic Lipitor. A year later, those drugs had to be recalled because they were suffused with glass particles. 1 year after that, Rambaxi pleaded guilty to 7 felonies related to fabricating data. There is a disconnect between what the FDA's regulators are approving and what the FDA's investigators are uncovering. We're all sort of the collateral damage in terms of the drugs that we're taking.
This might seem like a really strange question, Catherine. Are you safe exposing all of this information?
Let's put it this way. I am certainly not on the generic drug industry's Christmas card list anymore. I think that's fair. They have attacked me online, attacked the book, but they really haven't been able to knock it down in any way because, you know, I have spent a decade connecting these dots all over the world, and it's documented. I mean, the book is based on 20,000 internal confidential FDA documents I obtain, confidential corporate records. I've read hundreds of FDA inspection reports. None of the names in my book have been changed. Mm-hmm. So it is a, you know, true account of what is happening out there in these plants that are making our drugs. I would say that probably this sort of reporting does come with certain risks, but, you know, once you start reporting a story like this, you just don't really stop.
Thank you for doing this incredible research and exposing this to us. My sister was continually sending me texts about things that were being recalled, and I couldn't believe that there could be that many recalls on medication. And when I'm thinking about it, and I think about the opioid epidemic in this country, are painkillers also generic?
They are generic. A number of those medications are made under the same conditions that we've been discussing. I mean, there's really no drugs that are exempt from this, but that is to say some companies out there are doing it right, but many others are not. It's this old adage, follow the money. I mean, that's what I did in this investigation. For generic drug manufacturers, there has long been an incentive in the drug applications. If you're what's called first to file, if you're the first generic drug manufacturer that files an approved application with the FDA to launch a certain drug, you get 6 months of market exclusivity. That has been a huge boon for many generic drug companies. So there's been this rush for market share. And what I discovered is that some of the companies, they will fake the data, don't know how to make the drugs, get the approval, start selling the drug, and then while it's on the market, go back into their laboratories and try to actually figure out how to manufacture it, which is not really drug manufacturing. That's a science experiment, because that means that we're taking untested products. And that has happened in a number of instances.
I know that your book is a bestseller on the New York Times. Mm-hmm. The public is very much so aware of what's going on. What is the Congress doing about what's going on here?
That is a good question. And I think we'll know more in the fall whether the Congress is really going to take this up, because we're basically coming to the end of a legislative session here, and summer is about to hit. I have heard from certain people in the Congress. I know there's interest, but, you know, given what's going on in our country right now, it's hard to say what issue is going to rise to the top.
Nonsense seems to catch our attention, and the things that are most critical, we put on the back burner because it's not expedient somehow.
I'd like to think that Congress will act, you know, but I think we don't know that right now.
Bottle of Lies is what we're talking about this evening on Health Notes, the inside story of the generic drug boom. Catherine Eban is our guest. What can we do to protect ourselves from the madness?
That's a good question, and it's one that, as you can imagine, I've gotten a lot. On my website, which is KatherineEban.com, I put together a guide to investigating your own drugs. So this is really how to begin to understand whether you're taking a drug that has been manufactured by companies that are in hot water with the FDA. So what I recommend, first of all, if you're taking a maintenance medication, which means every day, first thing to know is who's the manufacturer. We all go to the pharmacy and we just get a bottle of pills and we take it and we don't think twice about who made it or where. But patients can begin to track that information. So the manufacturer name should be on the dispensing label. If it isn't, you should ask the pharmacist. Then what you can do, the FDA lists what are called warning letters on its website. So you can find out, has the manufacturer gotten a warning letter from the FDA? Has it been in trouble for any certain lapses, sterility lapses, data fabrication, those sorts of things? Then there's another place that you can look, which is called the FDA Orange Book, which tells you who are the manufacturers that make a given drug. So what I do, because of what I know, is I'll ask my pharmacist to switch to a different manufacturer. There are certain manufacturers whose drugs I won't take. Another thing that patients can do is look for what's called an authorized generic. The brand name company has authorized the generic company to make a drug. They've handed over the recipe, and sometimes those authorized generics are even made in the same manufacturing plants. But it's crazy that we should have to be detectives when it comes to our own drugs. I recognize it's nuts.
Is there a responsibility on the part of physicians regarding the prescribing of these medications? Are they not implicated somehow in this process?
I wouldn't say they're implicated. I would say that some of them are unwitting, and some of them understand this issue and spend a lot of time fighting with insurance companies on their patients' behalf. The doctors who prescribe what are called narrow therapeutic index drugs, so those are drugs that require very precise dosing, are well aware that switches to certain manufacturers can make their patients unstable. You know, and those are the doctors who log a lot of time fighting with insurance companies for their patients because, you know, by and large, insurers won't cover a brand name drug when a generic is available. And the FDA maintains that all the drugs are interchangeable. You know, so it's really left us all with a series of bad options.
Tell our listeners again your website address.
KatherineEban.com, KatherineEban.com.
Thank you so much for this work and for this information. Bottle of Lies is the name of the book, the inside story of the generic drug boom. Katherine Eban has been our guest. This is a story that CBS Morning Program did on generic drugs, one specific area of it.
Yes. Support for KFAI comes from The Green Room, presenting Mae Simpson, Friday, December 5th. Mae Simpson and her band infuse their Americana rock sound with elements of funk, soul, pop, and folk to create a sound that spans genres and defies description. Opening the show are People Brothers Band and Modern Joey. More information about Mae Simpson live at The Green Room is available at greenroommn.com.
Programming is supported by Mutual Management Company. Mutual Management offers housing in Riverside Homes, a collection of vintage, low-density properties in the heart of the Riverside neighborhood. These homes feature unique layouts, strong connections to outdoor spaces, and the opportunity to build community within this vibrant area. Since 1980, Riverside Homes has helped preserve the character of this critical neighborhood. Learn more or explore available housing by contacting Mutual Management, MutualMGMTCompany.com, or by calling 612-333-9164. Make Riverside Homes your next home.
The benefits of beet juice for super healthy blood. What are the benefits of beet juice? Many people are familiar with the red beet root, but did you know that this common produce market vegetable contains some pretty potent nutritional components you might not know about? The beetroot is a superfood veggie, very beneficial for lowering blood pressure, increasing athletic performance, purifying the bloodstream, improving cardiovascular health, and reducing inflammation in the body. You can eat raw beets, and there is also some nutrition in cooked beets, but it's actually the raw pressed beetroot juice, the extracted juiced liquid, that produces the greatest health-enhancing effects. When vegetables are juiced, they are 10 times more nutrient-rich because their nutritive compounds are highly concentrated. As a result, this bright red juice contains substantial amounts of antioxidants, naturally occurring nitrates, betaine, and iron, all super healthy ingredients that beets are particularly high in. From the Middle Ages, beetroot was used as a treatment for a variety of conditions, especially illnesses relating to digestion and the blood. The benefits of beet juice. Beets and the blood helps to lower blood pressure. There is no food closer to the color of the blood than the juice of a beet. And as it turns out, beets are an exceptionally great food for an overall healthy bloodstream. According to a study in the American Heart Association's journal called Hypertension, drinking a cup of beetroot juice daily may help lower blood pressure. Participants who consume this amount daily experience an average 10-point decrease in their blood pressure levels over a 24-hour period. This sparked the new phrase in health headlines, a cup of beet juice a day keeps the doctor away. High blood pressure, directly linked to cardiovascular disease and strokes, affects more than 77 million adults in the U.S. The benefits of beet juice and its nitrate content may be an easy dietary adjunct for many Americans. Beetroot is high in nitrates. When some people hear the word nitrate, they think of the chemical preservative sodium nitrate, a known carcinogen often found in hot dogs, bacon, or lunch meat. Beets are naturally high in nitrates. However, these substances are quite different than synthetic nitrates. They are plant-based elements that have favorable rather than harmful effects when ingested. In fact, the phytonitrates in beetroot juice when consumed are one of the known benefits that play a significant role in reducing and maintaining blood pressure levels. Your body converts nitrate into nitric acid in the blood, which helps to open up the blood vessels and normalize blood flow. There are other dietary nitrate-rich foods to consider, as well as beet juice. Dietary nitrates are also abundant in green leafy vegetables, so you want to juice your beet greens as well as the root. In fact, mixing your green juicing veggies with beets is a great way to cut the sometimes intensely sweet, rooty flavor of the red beet. As we mentioned, for maximum benefits and therapeutic use, it is best to drink the juice rather than eat the beet. You simply get more concentrated phytonutrients that can help to reduce hypertension and its related conditions. We advocate the use of beetroot juice to achieve this goal, along with a health-promoting diet and exercise regimen. Beet juice often has an energizing effect on the body, which may be helpful to get yourself to the gym or motivated to do a light cardio workout. Nitrates in beet juice boost athletic performance. The nitrate content in beet juice has been shown to be very helpful for athletes, allowing the body to recuperate better from physical activity by increasing the amount of oxygen and blood flow to the muscles, heart, and brain. This helps to also improve stamina, cardiovascular endurance, as well as enable faster recovery. There are a number of studies regarding beet juice intake and athletic performance. One of them was done by Dr. Andrew Jones, head of sport and health science at the University of Exeter in England, who successfully demonstrated significant improvement in high-intensity training with a group of sports rowing crew athletes. Another study conducted showed positive response to using varying amounts of beetroot juice within an exercise regime. It was concluded that these findings have important implications for the use of beetroot to enhance cardiovascular health and exercise performance in young adults. Betaine, one of the benefits of beet juice. Beets are especially rich in a micronutrient called betaine or trimethylglycine. Betaines are helpful for the elimination of toxins and the reduction of the amino acid homocysteine linked to improved heart health. Betaine has been documented by the University of Maryland to help in the decrease of high homocysteine levels. High amounts of homocysteine can damage red blood vessels, causing strokes, blood clots, atherosclerosis, and heart disease. Betaine functions very closely with the group of methyl donors, choline, vitamin B12, folic acid, and the amino acid methionine. A methyl donor is simply any substance that can transfer a methyl group, a carbon atom attached to three hydrogen atoms, to another substance. Many important biochemical processes rely on methylation, including the metabolism of lipids and DNA. Scientists suspect that adequate methylation of DNA can prevent the expression of harmful genes, such as cancer genes. It's quite likely that our body's ability to methylate declines with age, contributing to the aging process, and therefore supplementation could well be beneficial. Dr. Ray Sahelian. According to the National Cancer Institute, methyl donors have been linked to decreased risk of breast, colon, and pancreatic cancer. Studies published by the American Journal of Epidemiology and the American Journal of Nutrition suggest diet rich in these micronutrients may help you avoid cancer plus many other health problems. Beets may help beat colon cancer. The pigment beta-cyanin, a type of betalain, is one of the well-known benefits of beet juice and is what helps give beets their deep red color. It is actually this antioxidant that acts as a primary cancer-fighting agent, shown to be particularly successful at preventing colon cancers. Likewise, beetroot juice naturally increases the quantity of CD8 cells present in the colon. These cells are known to protect against and destroy cancerous growths. Dr. Mikhail Tombak, a Russian longevity scholar, concluded that the benefits of beet juice do indeed seem to prevent diseases of the digestive system and large intestine specifically. He also found in his studies that beets help to break up calcified stones in the bladder and kidneys. It was discovered in the 1950s by a Hungarian doctor named Dr. Ferenczi that a quart of juice a day as therapy for his cancer patients efficiently eradicated cancerous tumors much the same way they dissolved kidney stones. Purifies blood, detoxifies liver. One of the major benefits of beet juice is that it contains the mentioned group of powerful antioxidant pigments called betalains. These are components that help to boost the immune system, but also act as anti-inflammatories, antifungals, and detoxification aids. The betalains in raw beet juice are one of the best blood purifiers, cleaning the bloodstream and helping the liver do its job more effectively. We recommend juicing beets during a yearly or bi-yearly juice cleanse or juice fast to help detoxify and rebuild healthy blood cells. We are all exposed to toxins in our everyday environment. The benefits of beet juice can greatly assist in the process of detoxification from harmful pollutants, heavy metals, and chemicals in the air we breathe, the food we eat, and the water we drink. Beetroot juice, along with schisandra and milk thistle seed, can be especially supportive for those with hepatitis or stagnation in the liver organ. Increases glutathione and lowers cholesterol. Beets, and especially the juice from beets, also helps to detoxify the body via an increase in glutathione production. Glutathione is a master molecule that binds with toxins and pollutants that enter the bloodstream and eliminates them through the bowels. The juice is also helpful in reducing the bad cholesterol and triglycerides, which restrict blood flow and movement around the body. It is also known to substantially increase HDL, the good cholesterol. All of these factors help to protect against arteriosclerosis and heart disease. Vitamin C and folic acid. Beets also boost the immune system because they contain significant amounts of vitamin C. In addition, they are particularly known for their high amounts of folic acid and are therefore recommended for pregnant women for proper spinal cord development of the baby. Folic acid also helps to manufacture red blood cells. High in iron and carotenoids. Because of the high amounts of iron in beets, eating or drinking their juice helps to replenish this nutrient. People with low amounts of iron often feel their energy levels heighten with the regular consumption of beet juice, which helps to prevent anemia. Many women tend to crave beets during menstruation to help replenish the iron levels. The iron molecule is an important component of hemoglobin and is what binds to oxygen. If we have adequate amounts of iron in the bloodstream, the air we breathe can efficiently be transported throughout the body. Raw beets contain the carotenoid lutein and zeaxanthin, which are extremely beneficial for the retina of the eye and assist in protecting the skin. The benefits of beet juice: helps with inflammation, increases blood flow, provides energy, good for anemia, beneficial for reducing high homocysteine levels, good for eyesight and the skin, helps maintain a healthy colon, increases supply of oxygen to the brain and body, good for endurance exercise and recovery, strengthens the immune system, increases glutathione, purifies the blood and liver. How to juice beets. Beets can be juiced, of course, in a juicer, but they can also be blended in a blender and squeezed through a nut milk bag or fine mesh strainer. Be aware that the juice is like a natural dye and can stain chopping boards or kitchen appliances if not immediately washed in hot soapy water. It is always best to make your own beet juice as opposed to buying it pre-made. Fresh juice is packed with enzymes and all the micronutrients you want to consume. No packaged product really compares, in our opinion. Therapeutic dose, 1 to 2 cups per day. We don't really mind drinking straight beet juice and love the flavor, but because it is quite sweet and earthy tasting, some people don't prefer to drink it straight, and really there is no reason why you have to. You can combine the liquid in many juicing recipes that taste quite delicious. We have a nice beet juice recipe that we have posted below this video. Raw, cooked, powdered, or juiced beets. Beets lose their health benefits significantly when cooked or steamed. Juicing the raw beetroot is the best way to get the highest health benefits. Eating raw beets is also recommended, although not nearly as concentrated. The quantity of beets and fiber you would have to consume to get the same benefits of beet juice far exceed any small amount of beets you could eat in one serving. They are still great to include on salads or in various raw food recipes. One of our favorite side salads is grated carrot, grated beetroot, and chopped parsley. There are powdered beet juice extracts and beet powders on the market today that offer an alternative to drinking the juice. The powder may be more convenient for some people to use and add to beverages. Precaution: always consult your physician if you are taking prescription medications for high blood pressure. Avoid beet juice if you have candida overgrowth, as it is too high in sugar content.
Yet another study says sitting leads to higher death rates and higher rates of chronic disease and illness. A study published in the International Journal of Behavioral Nutrition and Physical Activity followed over 63,000 men from 45 to 65 years old, and they recorded how much time they spent on their duff. While monitoring sitting, they also took a detailed look at their overall health. The men were placed into categories of sitting. The categories were less than 4 hours, 4 to 6 hours, 6 to 8 hours, and 8 hours or more. As with other research, this study found evidence that the more you sit, the more likely you are to have chronic illness and therefore a shortened lifespan. This research showed a clear correlation to sitting and health. Those who sat less than 4 hours a day were much less likely to have chronic disease. Those who sat for 8 hours or more per day had a significant increase in diabetes. With each category, the more sitting, the more likely you were to have chronic illness. There is a lot of research that shows sitting at a desk 8 hours a day is bad for us. However, there are critics out there. One thing to keep in mind is that what isn't clear is how many of these subjects who suffer from chronic disease sit because of their chronic disease. Is it the sitting that causes the disease, or the disease that causes the sitting? More research definitely needs to be done in that area. However, this research, along with other big studies, show that moving throughout the day is most likely a very healthy thing to do. In 2007, a study found that prolonged sitting was as bad for your health as smoking. One study out of Australia found that adults who sit for 11 or more hours per day had a 40% increase of dying in the next 3 years as compared to those who sat fewer hours. There are a lot of implications to this research. Sitting obviously affects the masses, from airline pilots to the millions of people who sit in cubicles for work. We may need to find ways to counteract the seemingly devastating effects of sitting too much. If you are physically able